Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. We're going to start off in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for allowing us to come together in your presence. We thank you, God, that because you are here, we are here. And because we are here, you are here, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. We pray that you would speak on today, that all flesh would decrease, you would increase, God, and you would magnify yourself on today, God. We lift up the burdens, God, the cares of this world, the things that we are dealing with in this life. And we just thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that your word would come forth with power and demonstration, Lord God. And you would answer the questions of our heart, God. Whatever it is we're going through, we pray that you would speak on today, God, and that you would glorify your holy name through your servant in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, saints. God is good. If you believe that, just give him a shout out. God is good. So today we're going to just talk about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and the finisher, the beginning of our faith and the end of our faith. We're going to discuss that, and we're going to look into our lives, and we're going to look into who he is concerning us. How many have been through something this week that challenged your faith? Anybody been through anything that challenged your faith? Anybody? Come on now. You know, one thing the Bible talks about, through much tribulation shall we enter the kingdom. The Bible talks about that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. There are some things that we're going to go through in this life where we're going to need God to show up. And there's going to be some everyday things that we go through, despite the victories we might have had yesterday, despite the testimonies we had yesterday. There's going to be something that you go through today that you need God to manifest in. And I'm going to challenge you that if you find that you don't go through that much, the question is, are you really a Christian? And the reason why I'm going to ask that question is because God said that in this life you will have trouble. But he said for us to be careful because he overcame the world. And then he talks about in Revelation, to him who overcomes, will he grant to have access to the tree of life, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. Why would you need to overcome? That's the question. Why would you need to overcome? Or what are you overcoming? So you got to ask yourself these questions. Why would he say you need to overcome, and what are you overcoming? So if I'm thinking about, God, what is it in this life that I need to overcome for me to have access to the tree of life? What is it that I need to overcome? We can talk about some things. One of the things we know is that when we get saved, saved meaning that we're saved, right? And we're redeemed, right, from this world, from the ways of this world. And then we are granted to have our names written down in the book of life. And we become children of God. So what are we saved from? We are saved, right? Not only from the penalty of death and hell, but we are also saved, right, from living the way of this world. We're redeemed out of the death penalty, right? Because it says when Jesus died, he took away the penalty of death and sin, right? So we have now access to heaven, right? In the Old Testament, it talks about that many of the prophets, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, right? In the New Testament, when Jesus came, when he preached, he would always say to the disciples, wait, for the comforter will come. He will come unto you and he will teach you all things. And when he said, be patient, and on the day of Pentecost, they prayed, the Holy Spirit came, but he didn't come upon them. He came inside of them. So now what Jesus did, he gave us access. He said, remember when he preached, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? The kingdom of heaven is near. But then the Holy Spirit, in the day of Pentecost, he came within the believer. So now God is not on the outside coming upon you, moving you, but now he's on the inside, and he now has a vessel to whom which he can flow, right? Now that the Holy Spirit is on the inside, we have victory, right? We have victory, and we are now, Jesus talked about how we are now seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means we have, because we have his Spirit on the inside, we have God, the third person of the Godhead, on the inside. Now we are able to see differently. Remember, you have eyes to see and ears to hear. What does that mean? Now that I have God on the inside, the way I see things are not the same. Remember when the disciples were with Jesus, they would see, but they wouldn't see like he see. And he would always remind them that he said, whatever I see the Father do, I do. I'm not just doing it, but what I see the Father do, I do. And then he would tell them that. And now on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that gave them spiritual insight, meaning that they are now able to see spiritually. You know, they don't just look at things as the way they are, but they look at it from a different lens. That means the Holy Spirit, he unveiled to them what was. Not, we can read in the book of Acts, in the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed, right? And then the angels came. So look, what we see the difference is that they were able to pray, right, in the midst of being tormented, and then they were able to see the angel come. Or when Paul was on the boat in the book of Acts, and the boat was about to sink, and an angel warned them that no soul would be lost. Why was Paul able to access and see the angels and things like that? It's because the Holy Spirit is now on the inside. The God part is now physically on the inside. You hear what I'm saying? Not just upon, but inside. What does that have to do with anything? Because the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells within us. And I'm going to say it again. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives within. So that the life that we now live, not only do we don't just live it from a natural standpoint, we live it by the faith, right? But a Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, but we also live in this life through this power of the Holy Spirit who is now present with us. And you say present with us, of course we know that God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at all times. But we must understand that there's nothing in this life that you go through that the Holy Spirit is not presently in it with you. And when I say in it, he's in you. So what you see, he sees. But we gotta not see from the natural mind. We gotta not look at circumstances as the way they are. But we gotta know that in everything, he already established victory for us to have. That's why when we quote scriptures like, all things work together for the good of them that love him and are the called according to his purpose, we say that, do we really mean it? Do we really believe that what we go through will work together for our good? It all depends. Is the Holy Spirit there confirming with you? It said that his spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Although I'm in this world, I'm not of this world, and I don't live by the ways of this world because there's something on the inside. When we say things like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, do we really understand that? Do we really understand that when I might get a letter in the mail that's saying, something may happen to my house, or I might hear something about one of my children, or I might hear something about something going on at work that get me a little bit flustered. Do we really recognize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? See, because if we don't get that revelation, we almost feel by ourselves sometimes. But the truth, you hear me? See, facts and the truth sometimes are not the same. We got to remember. See, the fact that it may be a fact that I'm standing here and I'm alone, right? Because somebody will say, I just see Maurice. That's all I see. But the truth is, I'm not alone. You hear what I'm telling you? See, the facts are what the world sees, but the truth is what God say is. The fact may be, the consequences of something. They're saying, hey, you're going to lose your house. That may be written, and that's what they're going to say. That's what the fact says. On 30 days, you're going to lose your house. But if I have faith, and I believe the truth, and who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. Then I just speak to that situation. I say, God, you are God. And so you're not a Christian and naive. You just understand that I'm a Christian with power, with dunamis power on the inside, that I'm able to speak to circumstances. And let me tell you something about faith. Faith is foolish to the people of this world because it does not make sense. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, when the multitude was running to Jesus, right, and they were lame and they were sick and they were blinded and they were deaf And they were saying, if I could just get to him, I'll be made whole. Guarantee you, it was people in some of their families that says, why are you chasing him down? You've been blind all your life. Why would you run after this guy? You hear about the rumors. You believe that? But go ahead, that's you. And so when they would come back and they were no longer lame, or they were no longer blind, or they were no longer deaf, I mean, there's the testimony that God is able to do what man can't do. But what I'm trying to tell you is, in this day, God is the same miracle worker that he was then. He's always manifested his power in every generation. But the question is, who will believe him, and who know who they are in him? See, who is he and who am I to him? You hear what I'm saying? Who is God and who am I to God? The Bible says he is the author and finisher of our faith. Sister Shirley read the scripture where it talks about we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works with God, foreordained that we shall walk in them. What does that mean? God said, I already know the course of your life, right? And I have already ordained for you to have victory over certain circumstances that you're unaware of, but I'm totally aware of. And how can we know this? We know this, and I'm going to just use Jesus, the course of his life. Remember the Last Supper Jesus was eating with the disciples, and then he said, one of you shall betray me. Now, mind you, it's working out in Judas's life, but Jesus already knows everything that's about to take place. Now, why? Because he's God. That's one part. But understand this. We have access through the Holy Spirit to have revelation, right? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. We have access by the Spirit of God to sometimes have understanding in situations that naturally we wouldn't understand, but spiritually we just have it because we got the Spirit that knows all things. The scripture says that God had foreordained that we should have victory in circumstances before we ever get to the circumstances. But I'm going to still go back to the Last Supper where Jesus is eating. Now, he said, one of you will betray me. And all the disciples said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And I'm just skipping through it. And then he pretty much said to him who was going to leave, well, it was Judas, but he said, go and do what you're going to do. Now, mind you, although it's taking place in Judas's life, Jesus is already aware. And what I'm saying to you is, there's not a problem that you're going through right now that God is not aware of. And I know as believers, we've lifted up our prayers to God and said, God, I need you in this situation. God, see me through. And God already saw you through to tomorrow, right? Tomorrow ain't come for you, but God already sees 10 years from now your life already. So it's a mystery to us, right? But it's not a mystery to God. Because God is already working things out, right? He's already working things out that in situations, if you understand who you are, you have favor. If you understand who you are, you already have victory. We don't operate from a place of, I hope it will work out for me, but we already work out from a place that we are more than conquerors through him which love us. That's why Philippians 3:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But understand, that process of being strengthened in Philippians 3:13 is saying that maybe I don't know tomorrow, but he knows tomorrow. And so in my situation, I know that I have victory. I know that I can do whatever it is that he is calling me to do. Because if he's calling me to do something, just like he said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. And then Jeremiah began to talk to God and say, God, who am I? And God began to give Jeremiah a little bit of revelation that who you are, the same way he gave Gideon revelation to who he was, is that before you were born, I already equipped you, and I gave you everything that you need. And then we look at God like Moses, and the reason why I'm bringing up these names is to say, in the Old Testament, New Testament, nobody felt worthy or good enough to operate or do whatever God asked them. But God would begin to reveal that it's not about you, it's about my divine choosing of you. It's not about how good you were or even how bad you were. It's just that in time or outside of time, I already chose you and I said you will come to me. The Bible says nobody mistakenly comes to God, that even in our mess, he loved us and drew us to him. So it's not up to us. It's up to God to fulfill his word for us. And if you understand, being a parent, that if you have a child, you will do anything for your child, then you understand that God, who reigns in the heavens above, he said that I already ordained a way for you to go. You should not be guessing, God, should I do this? God, should I do that? He said, what I need you to do is, this is what he said in his word, I need you to not lean to your own understanding. Don't lean upon what you think. He said, lean not to your own understanding in everything that you do. He said, acknowledge me. Meaning that what? Call upon me. Call upon me. And he said, if you acknowledge me, he said, I'll direct you. Now understand what faith is. Sometimes in direction, like Abraham, sometimes in his direction, he don't always give you the whole, he don't always give you the GPS coordinates. What he tell you is, trust me and I'm going to walk you through it. Now you might say, why would God not give me everything? The problem with humanity is that if God give us more than what we should get, we begin to try to take control. You hear me? Sometimes he'll give us a little bit. Remember, it talks about how Abraham went and he lived in tents and he would go places, but he didn't know where the Lord was leading him, but he still trusted. And the reason why I'm saying that is that because in this life, you're going to find that there are times when, God, I believe you, but I'm still unsure. And God is like, listen, faith is not knowing everything, but trusting me. And understand this. Resources is what we ask God for, but God is the source. And sometimes God say, I'm not going to give you the resource because I want you to rely on the source. I'm not going to give you the GPS coordinates because I need you to trust me, because this is what we do. Once we get the address, then we only get fixed on the address. We get our mind off the source and we say, okay, let's just use GPS for a minute. If I'm using GPS on my phone, right? The source is my phone, right? And then the GPS, once I see where it's at, I'm like, okay, I don't need the phone anymore. I'm going to just go to the destination. God is like, no, the reason why I didn't give you all of it is because you're going to put me away and say, okay, I got it now. And God is saying, listen, no, I don't want you to have it. I need you to have me. Because what is happening always is there is somebody, right, trying to stop you from getting to the destination. Because let me tell you something about the destination where you are to go. Whenever God have a GPS coordinate for you to get there, he made a couple things for you. He made provision for you there. There's always surplus there. There's always favor there. And there is always his anointing for you to be there, right? And what am I saying? I'm saying that the devil, he cannot not stop you from getting where God wants you to go. But what he need for you to do is put down the source and try to get there on your own. Because if you do that, he can get you to go somewhere else. And God is saying, listen, you getting frustrated with me because I didn't tell you everything. But the reason why I didn't tell you everything is I can clearly see the enemy, right? I can clearly see the enemy and everything. And when you, as believers, read the book of Acts, Paul many times would talk to the churches and he would say, I would want to go here, but Satan hindered me. I don't know if you ever read that. And you might be like, you're a believer, Paul. You preach the word of God and you got the spirit of God in you. What you mean Satan hindered you? Because there are principalities and powers that fought against Paul, that fought against you, that fought against Jesus, that is always trying to stop God's purpose in your life. And you might say, where was Satan at trying to stop Jesus' purpose? Remember when Jesus fasted? The very first thing he did was, before Jesus healed anybody, he came and was like, all right, do you know who you are? He began to question Jesus, right? And why did he do that? Because he knew that if he ever got to where he was supposed to be at, it was nothing he can do to stop him from doing what he was supposed to do. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have a real enemy that is assigned to stop you from getting where you are supposed to be. Now, the thing about it is you're living this life and sometimes you might feel like, well, it just don't seem like anything's ever easy for me. Oh, that's a good place to be. You know why? Because you're relying on the source. The thing is, if it's too easy, it's probably because you're doing it on your own, right? The thing about it is, in this life, in the flesh side, it feels good to know, right? But what God say is, to know in me is to trust me. It's not to know everything. It's to know that I'm able to sustain you. It's to know that I'm able to do it. Because guess what? If you do it, you get glory. If God do it, God get glory. Now, the question that I have for you, who you think God wants to get the glory? We got to know God is a jealous God. He doesn't want any of us to get the glory. You know why? Because if we allow God to get the glory, he said that his glory will be revealed in us, that we will shine brighter when it's through him. We are Christians. We are Christ-like. What does that mean? Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Meaning that, like, even the life that I live is sacrificial because I understand that if I don't do it my way and I do it his way, not only do he get the glory, but because of Jesus' life and because of the life we live sacrificially, we get to live with him in heavenly places. You got to understand, he's saying that when you do it my way, I will give you my glory. But when you do it your way, you get your own glory, and there is no reward for that. There is no reward for that. He said, if you do it to please men, well, that's your reward. But if you do it to please me, then I will not only give you in this life, but in the world to come. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. We understand that eternity is a lot longer than 90 years. If God bless you to live 90 years on earth, that's nothing. You can't even compare 90 to 900, more or less 90 to 9,000 and 9 million. And what I'm trying to tell you is that we live this life from a place of dying that he told us to take up our cross and follow him. I'm going to read from Matthew 7, and verse 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what is man is there among you, that if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father in heaven give good things to them who ask him? All right, so we see Jesus is saying, listen, he said, you being evil, meaning our hearts. The Bible talks about how our hearts are deceitfully wicked, who can know them? Because we waver, we go back and forth. You understand? And I'm just using it in the sake of children because it's easier to understand. But if I got a child who I give instructions and I say, you understand? And he says to me, yes, I understand, Daddy. And then I come to him an hour later and I say, remember the instructions I gave you? What did I tell you? And he said, I don't remember. Now, you might not call that evil, but what were you doing for the last hour if you forgot what I told you? You understand? And that's how we are many times. We are like those children that we know what to do, but then we go about our own way, and then he can look and see, listen, that would be considered like lukewarm, and that would be considered like we're not all the way there. And the one thing about it is God knows who we are. We are his workmanship, and I love the scripture that was read earlier, because it says that God knows the weakness of our flesh. This is why Jesus came to die. We don't have a God that can identify with the weakness of flesh, but what he did, he gave us his Holy Spirit, that although we are weak in the flesh, we don't have to yield to the flesh. We have the Spirit of God within us that we can lean upon, right? So when we're in situations, he can give us the strength. He can give us the wisdom. And the Bible talks about, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth all men liberally and abradeth not. Meaning, I'll give it to you and I won't hold it back. If you're really seeking me for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. And the thing is that we have the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, who is the teacher, who the Bible says he will teach us all things, whatever he said. What does he mean? Whenever you're in a situation of life and you have difficulty seeing what I should do, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give us what we need in that time to equip us for that situation. The thing is when you lean upon yourself and you say, well, God, I just don't understand. God, I just don't understand. That's great, because you're confessing you don't understand. But what we do, we don't leave it there. God, I don't understand, but I know you understand. Right? We take it off of us and put it on him. He said, because for us to cast our cares upon him, for he cared for us. So he said, if you got a burden, right? Sister Shirley read the scripture where it talks about us not being, let me go back to that scripture, because Philippians 2, 13 through 16. For it is God who worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. God working us to do his good pleasure. And do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Don't argue about it. That ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God. Listen, sons of God. Now, God is identifying who you are, right? You are a son of God, meaning that you are my children. So understand this. And it says, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now God is saying, you're different from everybody else. You don't respond like everybody else because you're mine. Among a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're supposed to shine. If you complaining and arguing, you're not shining. Right? And it says, hold forth the word of life. What is the word of life? His scripture. That you may rejoice in the day of Christ when he returns. That you have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now God said, you're going through all of this, but don't let it be in vain because you complaining and murmuring. And see, because when we do that, God gets no glory. What glory does God get when his children complain about everything, right? And then murmur and want to argue about everything. And then we say we're saved and we believe God. So if you're complaining about a situation, it's because you don't believe it's going to work out. And if you don't believe it's going to work out, it's because you don't believe God. Because God said it's going to work out for your good, and everything going to work out for good. You rejoice in adversity because you already know the outcome. But when you curse in the adversity and say, I just don't understand, you got to explain to me why this, and God has said, well, if I got to explain it to you, then you don't believe me. It's like a parent and a child. You tell a child, I'm going to take you to McDonald's and get you a Happy Meal real quick. And the child tells you, explain to me how we're going to go to McDonald's and you're going to get me a Happy Meal. And you say, what? Explain to you. I just told you what I'm going to do. I didn't tell you how I'm going to do it, how I'm going to get there. I got this, you know, as a parent. But the child said, well, I would believe you to take me to McDonald's if you just explained to me how you're going to do it. You know, and as a parent, you're like, well, never mind, you're not going to. You just hear what I'm saying. If I got to explain it to you and you don't trust what I told you, but then you don't need to go because you're not worthy. And God actually said that in James. He said, let not that man that doubteth think he shall receive anything from me. If you're doubting me, you don't trust me. And if you don't trust me, then you trust somebody else. Because if you trust your flesh, you trust the devil. Because guess who identifies with your flesh? The devil does. The devil is the one that say, do you really believe God can do it? Do you really believe you should trust God? I think you should do it yourself. Why? Because either God is God or we're God. Either God is right or we're right. And if we're right, then God is wrong. And if God is wrong, well, then what are we believing for? You know what I mean? And because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for. You don't see it, but it's a substance, right? Because spiritually I see it. But it's just like if I told you I have an apple, right? You see an apple. I have an apple in my hand. What does the apple look like? Any of you guys can describe the apple. I don't even have to say if it's a green or red apple. You can describe it. If I tell you what the inside looks like, you tell me what the inside looks like. Oh, I know what it looks like. It's beige. Does it have seeds in it? And you tell me. And hear what I'm saying. That's what faith is. I don't see it, but I see it. And I hope for the thing that I'm asking for as it is so already. But if I say, well, God, I have faith, but I just don't see it. Well, what are you having faith for? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You understand what I'm saying? And it says it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, the reason why this is important, because in science, that would not make sense. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, the fact is, if you try to scientifically qualify that, that don't even make sense. But God said he chose the foolish things of this world to confound those that are wise. So if you try to quantify God, God laughs. He said that your wisdom is foolishness to me. He talked about the wisdom of this world being foolishness to him. And he said that he chose the foolishness of the things of this world to be the wisdom of this world. So God is like, you cannot figure me out. You cannot quantify me. So when people talks about the Big Bang Theory, they say, well, it was just a bang. God was like, yeah, it was a bang, because I said it was bang. That's why it was a bang. But then they'll say, well, it was a bang, but, you know, we don't know where it came from. But we can study this. And God was laughing at that. It was a bang because I said it was a bang. You know what I mean? And this is how human reasoning does. Human reasoning says, well, even though it was a bang, and we talk about sources, we know as believers that God was the source. But then people tell you, well, even though it was a source that came from protons and neutrons, and we don't understand it, and we're still studying. And this is what I'm going to tell you. You can still study. I study the Bible because I believe it. Because this is what we know. Some people will say, well, we don't understand what happens after death. You know, we believe that you just go back to the grave. Well, let me tell you, the whole focus of my belief is this. It ain't over with once we die. Because my Bible says that after we live, there's the judgment. And because I believe that, and you might say, what is the basis of your belief? Because all of this is the foundation of why we believe what we believe. The basis of my belief that God is because he showed up so many times in my life, right? So because he showed up so many times in my life and I've seen him manifest, see, if you're a Christian and you have never seen God manifest, I question your belief in the afterlife or even that God's existence. Because how can you believe in something yet you don't know? Now, this is the thing about God. God did say that if you ask, it shall be given. Listen, God challenges us to seek his face. He said that if you, and I'm going to go back to the scripture in Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given unto you. That's almost like a command. He said, ask and I'll give it to you. He said, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be open. For everyone that asks, he didn't say some of y'all. He said, for everyone that asks is receiving. Hear with me. If you're a Christian and you're afraid to ask God, you don't know him. Because he said that he's a loving God. He's a good God. And the thing about God, he wants his, he said, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. If he says that his people know his voice, it's only because they have relationship with him. The thing about it is, in this life, he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. He is the beginning. So the reason why you came to God is because he drew you. He started you here. But why is he also the end of your faith? It's because when this is all said and done, you're going to stand before him. And so everything that you did, he started it, and he says, I'll be there at the end. Because you don't see me right now, right? But not only is God omnipresent, remember, he's within me. So in everything I go through as a believer, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. His Spirit is speaking. And he's speaking to me, and the question is, am I listening? Am I listening to the Holy Spirit? See, because he gave us free will. We can listen or not listen. In a word, it talks about grieve not my Holy Spirit, meaning that the Holy Spirit can tell us the right thing to do. Just trust me. Lean upon me. I got it. I'm working it out. And then we begin to look at the circumstances. And we say, well, God, I just don't know. And again, I'm going to remind you, it's okay not to know. We don't have to know. He didn't tell us we had to know. But we got to trust, though. You may not know what you got to trust. You may not know everything, but you know who does know everything, right? He knows the outcome of all things. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why is this important? We got to understand that our bodies are the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. Don't think like this world. Don't act like this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The thing it is, we haven't had a renewed mind. What does it mean? It means that a renewed mind is like a washing. It's a sanctifying of our mind, meaning that there are ways that we have that make sense to us. Hear what I'm telling you. But faith in the word of God, it may not make sense to us. But we got to read it enough to where what he says trumps what we feel, trumps what we know, and it trumps what we would do. So we got to do it the way God say do it and not the way we would do it, because renewing of the mind, meaning that there is something there. Like, even though we're saved, right? When the act of salvation is instant. God save us. But then there is a saving. There is a sanctifying that God does where he transforms our mind. The renewing of our mind is a process, meaning that as I get the word inside of me, as I read the word of God, it renews my mind. And it says that when I'm facing life situations, that how I would respond, God is saying I have a better way to respond, right? And that better way to respond is always leaning upon him, right? And then speaking his word to the situations of life. And you might say, what does he mean? Like, if I'm going through something, why would I need to speak the word to it? Because Jesus spoke the word too. Jesus spoke the word to circumstances. When he went to eat something as simple as getting a fig from a fig tree, and the fig tree didn't bring forth figs, and he cursed the tree. Anybody ever want to, something not happening, right? And you just want to say, hey, you know what? And the thing is that he gave us his spirit so we're able to do things like that. But it's not so much about the power to do. It's about understanding the power to act and not react. See, we react like the world reacts. And he says, no. You don't react like the world reacts. You react in me and I will give you what to do. I'm going back to that scripture in Romans 1 and 2. And it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that ye may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So by you not relying on you, you're going to prove what is the good, right? But it's not only good, it's acceptable. And it's acceptable, it's the only thing that you should do. And he said his perfect will. So it's good, it's acceptable, and perfect. Why is it that? Because you're not relying on you, you're relying on God. Because the only way to have a renewed mind and live is by us presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And in doing so, we're saying, God, your way is right, my way is not. God, your will is better than mine. The way I think, I need your way of thinking, not my way of thinking. The Bible says the carnal mind is not subject to the things of God. My natural thinking is not subject to God. My natural thinking, for example, is if I have a bill to pay and I don't have the money to pay it, is that whatever it is getting repoed. You hear what I'm saying? If it's a house or car, I'm just using it for example. My natural thinking says if I don't have the money to pay, then my whatever it is I'm hoping God for is getting repossessed, right? Because I don't have the money to pay it. And or I'm thinking about getting a loan to pay it. You hear what I'm saying? This natural thinking. And God's saying, do you believe that I have access to all monies? Do you remember what happened when in the Bible where they were to pay taxes, right? And they told Jesus, you know, we're your people, we're doing your work, but we got to pay taxes. And Jesus told Peter to go fishing. He told Peter to go fishing. Now, I don't know about you, but I know if I'm telling you we got to pay taxes and you telling me to go fishing, I'm talking about natural thinking. Like, what do fishing got to do with paying taxes? And then Peter went fishing. He didn't understand it. It wouldn't have made sense to me either. But I'm just saying, guys sometimes don't make sense. Peter went fishing. When Peter went fishing, he found the money inside the fish's mouth. Now I'm going to say, why did God use something like that to show Peter or show the disciples that he can do things? Sometimes God won't make sense. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes God will not make sense. But guess what? Did he provide? Because the bottom line, did the source provide the resource? Yes, that's all that matters. The source provided the resource, but if he told you how he was going to do it, imagine if Jesus said, Peter, when you go fishing, he didn't tell Peter, he just told him to go fishing. But if he said, Peter, you're going to go fishing, and you're going to find the money in the fish's mouth, you know what I think Peter would have did? I think Peter would have went fishing for a long time. Hear what I'm saying? Once he found the first one, he's going to keep on fishing. Oh, it must be more. I'm just saying the way I would think. You know what I mean? I don't know if you would think like that. But if God did a miracle like that, I might concentrate. Not now. I'm off of the source, and now I'm on the resource. You hear what I'm saying? And I'm saying that many times we understand that. I told you today we was going to talk about God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Sometimes we wonder, God, the resources that I need from you to live this life, God, help me to understand. And God is saying, listen, I don't give you everything, because if I gave you everything, you would then begin to lean on the resource. And I want you to understand, sometimes I don't speak to you and give you everything because I am your source. And it's in that we have protection. It's in that, and I'm going to close soon, but it's in that we have our reassurance that God is able to not only sustain us but be our provider, Jehovah Jireh in everything. And I don't know about you, but I'm reassured in knowing that everything we face, we're not doing it alone. I'm going to read again a scripture from Hebrews 12:1-3. It says, wherefore, seeing we have compassed about so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradicting of sinners, meaning that while he was living his life, people always challenged him. Just imagine him who endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. God is saying in this whole thing, Jesus fought against people and things, and he endured, and he was God. You're going to go through some stuff. Consider that Jesus went through some stuff, and it starts off by saying we're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Meaning there was some in the faith that died before you. And the Bible talks about how they are waiting for to be joined with us. They overcame. They lived their life and they got the victor's crown. I don't know about you, but I want to have the victor's crown. I want the victor's crown. And it says that when you live in this life, lay aside everything, every weight, every sin that will get you caught up. Don't argue, don't complain, don't murmur, don't fight. He said, but trust me. Because if you trust in God, you're going to have praise on your lips. If you trust in God, you're going to have worship on your lips. If you understand that you have all resources of all your needs at the tip of your mouth, you might say, what do I mean? I mean, if you are God's child, right? The one who created the heavens and the earth, you don't have anything that he didn't already know you needed. So whatever you have, he said that if you ask, right? The scripture we read. He said, if you ask, you'll find. If you seek, you'll find. And you ask, you'll get it. And if you knock, the door shall be open. Meaning that this. And he said, if you being evil know how to give a good get bread or fish to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? God is saying, listen, you don't have a single concern that I'm not concerned about. The same way you will provide for yours, I'll provide for you. But you just got to ask me and know I'll do it. And you got to seek me and know I'll do it. And you got to come and open, knock at the door. Wait, it's an action. Seeking is an action. Asking is an action. And knocking is an action. God is saying, you got to do your part and I'll do my part. But in me doing my part, you got to believe me. Don't question how I'm going to do it. Right? Just know I'm going to do it. Just remember that McDonald's illustration. Your child wants to ask you too much. How are you going to get to McDonald's? Well, we don't need to go to McDonald's. You hear me? Like, let's not get concentrated. I am the source, and I'll get the resources, is what God is saying to you. I got what you need. I got it. Do you trust me? And, so, and just think about, if God really wants the glory in everything, don't you think sometimes God will allow a situation to be that way so you can remember who he is? So some situations, it didn't just happen. God said that it all works together for your good, because if the well dried up, I can teach you, you know, how to get it. I remember in the book of Kings where Elijah, he lost his axe in the water, and God had him touch the water and the axe rose. Then he did something that didn't make sense. Or we see the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt and they were running from the Egyptians and they hit the Red Sea and they thought they were going to die. And God opened up the sea. And the reason why I'm mentioning these things is sometimes you're going to be in the midst of something that you just don't understand, right? And that's okay. When you read the scripture, a lot of people didn't understand. And it's okay not to understand. But we don't take our eyes off the source. We keep our eyes on the source. And when we keep our eyes on the source, then we'll see sometimes miracles take place. Because what God did in the situation for the Red Sea, he opened the Red Sea and they walked on dry ground. And I would just imagine if I see walls of water 30 and 50 feet high and I'm walking through it, oh no, I definitely got to praise through that, because it's no way in the world I could believe that could happen. But once I see that, there's nothing that he can't do. And what I'm trying to tell you, in the life of a believer, he said, whatever you're going through, all things will work together for your good. Everything will work together for your good. And he said, I already foreordained for you to have victory in every situation. So understand this. The life that you have right now, God chose it for you. The situations that you face, not everything that God chose for us, hear what I'm saying. When I say situation, because sometimes we can take our eyes off God and make a situation. But what I'm trying to tell you, in every situation, you can have victory when you get your eyes fixed on him. And when we get our eyes fixed on him and when we say like Job, though he slay me, meaning like, though I'm in situations I don't understand and it's overwhelming, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Meaning that, devil, I'm not even going to acknowledge what I'm feeling right now. Because sometimes we like to say, I'm going through this. Remember that scripture, we don't complain, we don't murmur, we don't argue. We praise God in the midst of it. In the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed. They were in prison to be executed. It says that they in the midnight hour prayed. And then the angel came. And then the chains were loosed off of them. Now, mind you, they still endured, and they did get executed later on. And they did that to the glory of God, because Paul, when he was going to get executed, said that he was ready to face that. And there's something about going through God over and over and seeing God provide for you and seeing God open doors, and you understand that even death itself don't have power over me. When the devil want me to die, I can laugh at it and say, only when God ready. It don't matter what the doctor said. It only matters what my father said. And when my father say it's time for me to go, well, then praise God, it's my time. And when I do go, I'm going to be greeted by him and the angels, and they're going to be rejoiced, saying, welcome to the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within and without to a believer. He's in you, the Holy Spirit. And on the outside, he's everywhere. And there's nowhere I can go. Just like it says in his word, it's nothing that can stop the love of God in our life. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. God's love is that great. And that God's love is the beginning of our faith. It is the end of our faith. And throughout it, we exercise it. God's love is an action. But in an action, it's trusting him. Sometimes faith in action is just being still. Be still and know that I'm God. It's not always a doing. But understand, when I knock, that's a doing. That's praying, right? And sometimes I should stay there until the door is open. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes I should ask, not continue to ask because I don't believe, but I ask and I trust that he got this. And just stay there and know that he is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. He will always be my sustainer. And nothing I go through in this life will I ever do it alone, because he's with me. We're going to pray. We're going to close out in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word that you sent forth to go forth in our hearts. God, we thank you, God, that you are the beginning, you are the end, and you are our sustainer, Lord. God, and we thank you, God, that you have a way that you chose for us that is better than the way we choose for ourselves. God, we pray, God, that we will yield to you enough, that we will present our bodies to you enough to where, God, the will that we live will be acceptable, pleasing, and your perfect will. God, we just die today to ourselves, our way of thinking, our way of life. And we ask you, God, to have dominion in us. We ask you, God, to give us what to say, to give us what to do, to teach us how to love. For you said this is the proof that we're your disciples, by the love we have one for another, God. God, help us to praise and worship in adversity, God. Help us to glorify you, and help us more than anything, God, to stay in your word, God, to renew our mind and to pray before you, leaning upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we just thank you, God, that in this generation, we believe it to be the last, that you will perfect that which concerneth us, and you will get the bride of Christ ready for your return. Lord God, help us to wait for your return. Help us to be faithful until you return. And God, help us to give you glory in everything we face, knowing, God, that you have kept us, you will keep us, and you will sustain us. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You are he that liveth. You are he that resurrected, Lord God. And we thank you, God, that one day we will be in our glorified bodies, glorifying you, who is the beginning and the end, and everything. Amen and amen.